Welcome to the 180 Podcast. You are listening to a teaching of the 180, a new church committed to learning to love Jesus and love like Jesus. Our prayer is that God would use this teaching to help you grow closer to Him and that you would feel moved to join us in person, where you can grow in community with the larger 180 family.
Bienvenue à la balado-diffusion de l'Église 180. Vous écoutez un enseignement de l'Église 180, une nouvelle Église qui s'est engagée à apprendre à aimer Jésus et à aimer comme Jésus. Notre prière est que Dieu utilisera cet enseignement afin de vous aider à vous rapprocher de lui et que cela vous donne envie de vous joindre à nous en personne où vous pourrez vous épanouir au sein de la communauté qu'est la grande famille de l'Église 180.
Just really happy to have you here and continuing in the Christmas season together. And, you know, as a kid growing up, I think I've shared with most of you before, I grew up on a farm. And so, you know, as we moved towards New Year's, my family, my parents gave us two rules for New Year's. First rule was, okay, we're going to bed at 10 o'clock. Don't wake us up. That was my parents. And the second rule was, we're going to wake you up at 6 a.m. to go do chores. So within the confines of that, you can do whatever you want. As it turned out, we all just decided, you know what, we're just going to go to bed because Dad's going to work us really hard the next morning. And that's how you kick off a good new year on the farm. So I don't know what your New Year's traditions are, but you know what, we realized even though we didn't really celebrate much of New Year's, the New Year came all the same no matter what, right? But Christmas actually is a bit different for us, right? It kind of demands the fact that Jesus came to earth and became human, it demands a response from us. And we have to kind of wrestle with it and think through it. And that's kind of what the days after Jesus was born were all about. As different people started to encounter who Jesus was, they started to see something really special, different, and new that God was doing. You know, for myself, I think when I was young, I kind of had this impression that Christmas was just kind of about second chances, right? That, you know, that God sent his son Jesus so that we could all have just a second chance and try again and do better the second time, right? And, you know, as a little kid, that felt really good because I think for myself, I felt like I needed a second chance frequently, and that's all I really wanted. But, you know, sometimes I'd get a second chance, then a third chance, a fourth chance, and I'd start to realize, like, okay, I just don't need another chance. Something needs to change. And that's actually closer to the message of Christmas, that Jesus came to make a change so that we could change and be changed. And so we're going to start to dig into this as we get into the scriptures that we're going to read today. And really look at those first days after Jesus was born and looking at the changes that started to happen in the people around him. So we're going to read from Luke chapter 2. And this happens actually about 8 days after Jesus was born. And as his parents start to raise their child. And so we can read in Luke chapter 2, verse 22, it says, when the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. So Mary and Joseph, Jesus' parents, right after Jesus is born, they just start to raise him according to the law of Moses or the law of God, right? And this is the law of Moses. That was just the instructions for living that God had given to Moses to teach the people that wanted to know him how to see and know God in a real way and how to order their lives so they could really be faithful to who God is. And, you know, the law of Moses, it had some specific instructions for whenever a child was born, right? Kind of different responsibilities for the parents, different responsibilities towards the children, but kind of the heart behind those instructions was just to remember that children were a gift. They were this great responsibility. Sometimes they represented hope for the future, but they were a gift from God that could be then consecrated or dedicated back to God, right? Because otherwise, you know, the kind of the responsibility or the blessing of a child could become a distraction or a burden that would be just so hard to carry that parents were taught, hey, you got to trust God with some of this responsibility. You know, this is actually a story we use at the 180, the story of Joseph and Mary presenting Jesus to be dedicated. That's a story we use at the 180 when we talk about for anybody here who has children, to have a parent-child dedication after a child is born, right? We want to continue that practice that is modeled all through the Bible of trusting God with the things that have been entrusted to us. So Mary and Joseph, they had a son, and so they said, okay, we're going to take him to the temple to be dedicated, right? So they were living in accordance with the things that God had been teaching for centuries before, walking in obedience and learning to be faithful. But even more so, they knew that the child that they had was the Messiah of God, right? The one sent by God to bring healing, to bring peace, to bring reconciliation. So if ordinary parents feel the weight of responsibility of raising a children, imagine for Mary and Joseph, they had the responsibility of raising up this child who God had already told them was going to be the Messiah, who's going to bring God's plans to fruition in the world. So looking at Mary and Joseph, maybe I could ask you, you know, what has God entrusted to you? You know, at this time of year, often we look forward to the new year, to 2025, but maybe you could look back and look at what are the things that God entrusted to you over the past year? What were the things that were heavy or weighty or important that you carried through the year? Maybe the obvious example is kids, because that's what comes out of this story. But I think this actually applies to all of us as we look back, even if you don't have children of your own. You know, consider, you know, what things felt like maybe a gift or a burden over the past year. Maybe it was just a new contract you negotiated at work, and that set off new responsibilities. Maybe it was just the first sale of the year where you said, hey, this year's going to be okay. There was the hope that came from a job well done. The completion of a project, or maybe a new season, you got accepted to a new program at school, and there was hope that came from that. Or it could just be, you know, the house you live in, or the neighbors and the relationships you have with the people in your neighborhood, that you realize, hey, these people, they're a gift from God. Think what has God entrusted to you? Because these are things that we can then dedicate back to God. Because there's parts of it, parts of each of those relationships that will be more than we can carry on our own. And I think when we talk about dedication, it's maybe important to maybe make a distinction maybe between the way that the Bible talks about dedication and maybe the way that we talk about dedication in the culture, particularly around the new year, right? I think when we talk about dedication, sometimes we're just talking about being locked in, being focused, trying to accomplish our goals, being, you know, giving 110%, trying to get something done. And that's a good thing to do as far as it goes. But when the Bible talks about dedication, it actually talks about giving something back to God and trusting that God's going to do what only he can do, right? That God's going to move in ways that only he can move. He's going to speak. He's going to reveal things. He's going to bring strength or encouragement in ways that go beyond anything that we could do on our own. So yeah, so what gifts or responsibilities or burdens are you carrying right now that you could give back to God? When I think back on 2024 for me, I think of just something that came up this fall, and I was sharing with a mentor just about a relationship I had that had just, it hadn't worked out, right? I had a conflict with someone, and I just didn't know what more I could do to make it right. And I was kind of explaining the whole situation to a mentor and saying, like, I tried to seek reconciliation, I tried to make things right, and nothing seems to be working. And, you know, the guy I was talking to, he said, well, first he checked. He made sure I actually had tried everything, that I wasn't just lying to myself or deluding myself. But he said, hey, like, you know, can you trust that God can be at work in this situation? Can you trust that maybe God can bring insight to you or to the other person that you never could? Maybe God can show a way of wisdom or love that you would never know on your own. And I realized then that if I wanted to actually honor God with my life, if I wanted to honor God in that relationship, I needed to let God work in ways that I never could. I needed to entrust or dedicate that relationship to him and say, God, you need to take the lead here. So where is God teaching you to trust in him as you live your life, right? It doesn't mean to retreat from your life or to run away from your problems, but to actually engage in a healing way, trusting that God's going to speak and move in ways that you never could. And when Jesus came, you know, even at 7, 8 years old, or 8 days old, he's already kind of embedded in this story of what God was doing, of teaching people that they could trust him, and that they needed to trust him if they wanted to live a healthy, a sane, a wise life, right? So Jesus was never it never really was just away in a manger. It never really was just tucked off in like a spiritual corner where everything was peaceful and quiet and calm. But he was always right in the middle of relationships and people and all the complications of that we have carrying the stresses and burdens of life that his parents and the people around him had to trust God to work through all of the problems and details of life. Because Jesus is always going to lead you deeper, actually, into your responsibilities, deeper into your character, deeper into your identity, and even into your community to bring a healing, to bring change, and to bring transformation. And yeah, in the days after Jesus' birth, we just see people coming to this awareness of who Jesus is and who God is in a deeper way. And if we continue in our passage in Luke 2, we meet one of those people. We see that Mary and Joseph, they meet a man named Simeon, who's just a model or an example for us of dedication to God. So in Luke 2:25, it says, "Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah." You know, the way that Simeon is described here, it seems clear that, you know, that he was an older man, right? That God has spoken to him and said, "Hey, before you die, you're going to see something new of God at work." And but you see, even as he's older, there's a few different ways that he's described. He's described as righteous and devout, and righteous in the sense of that he was just someone who always tried to do the right thing and do it in the right way, right? Not that he was judgmental or cruel or hard in some of the ways we use that word sometimes now, but he tried to do the right thing. He was also devout, right? He was trying to order his life around God. And also, there's maybe that strange phrase, says he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. It might say something a bit different in your Bibles if you read it, but that phrase, consolation of Israel, is maybe a bit strange to you, but it's kind of a shorthand of saying that Simeon was someone who really cared about the things that God cared about, right? The consolation of Israel kind of comes out of the prophecies of Isaiah and talks about the things that God was going to do, not just for maybe one person or not just in private, but the things that he was going to do for the whole people of Israel and for the whole world. And so Simeon, he was someone who had learned over his life to care about the things that God cares about, to love the things that God loves, to watch for the things that God was going to do, right? So maybe he was someone who'd had a child once, a daughter or a son, that he'd had to dedicate back to the Lord, right? Dedicate back to God. He likely went through all the stresses of having a career and financial pressures and all the conflict with coworkers or conflict with neighbors, and he'd learned over the years how to handle those stresses and worries of life in a wise and good way. And he could carry all those worries and anxieties as he needed to. But what his focus was on, what he was watching for, was that he was watching for God to be at work. He was watching for God to fulfill his promises. For me, when I read about Simeon, I actually think about a family friend of mine. Her name was Helen. And Helen was old when I met her. Old enough that it was okay to call her old, right? She's just a really wonderful personality, but she was someone that kind of embodied this life of Simeon, that she was watching for God to be at work. So she'd already retired from her career, and actually she'd never married, she didn't have kids of her own. When she talked about her life, she was done working. She couldn't talk about everything she'd done in the past. She wasn't obsessed with that. She also wasn't going to keep on working in the future. She wasn't talking about all her dreams and plans for the future. But whenever we talked to her, she was always someone that would talk about, hey, but this is what God could do. This is how God is at work. And when Jess and I met her and got to know her shortly after we were married, she was just such an encouragement to us. And I was just struck by, how it's impressive to have a friend who's 40 years older than you, right? It's more impressive, I think, that she was able to befriend Jess and I, that we're so young, immature, and just kind of foolish in some of the things that we were doing. And I kind of wonder, what was it that allowed her to be such an encouragement to people that were such a different life stage in such a different place from her? The unique thing about Helen is that, she shared about life and shared about, kind of tried to give us advice about how to live and what to do, you know, I see that, you know, I can see in myself that as I get older, sometimes I start to become more cynical. I start to see all the ways that things won't work out, all of the ways that things will break. And I've learned those things by life experience, right? I've seen what's not going to work. And, you know, Helen knew all those things. But what I noticed whenever I was around her was actually that she was a lot of fun. And I think she was fun because she was not focused on what could break or what could go wrong, but she was focused on, hey, what if God was at work in this situation? What would he do? How could he carry it through? Right? The worries about money, the worries about, is my career gonna work out? The worries about, is my family gonna be happy or healthy? You know, she could see all those things, but also see, hey, what if you trusted God with those things? Would he be able to carry it through? And that meant she wasn't as focused on everything that could go wrong. She was aware of it, but not focused on it. But she was focused on what God could do. And I think for both Helen and Simeon, you know, they were waiting on God. They were waiting to see what God could do. And that was actually just an expression of trust. It was an active expression of trust in God, of watching with dedication, a conscious engagement to see God at work. So, you know, as we look forward, we kind of look back to 2024, but if you look forward to 2025, what are you watching for? What is the one thing you're waiting to see happen? Are you waiting for an election that's maybe going to change the direction of the country? Are you looking for your career to go in a certain direction? Are you waiting for something, a new relationship or something to happen in your family? What are you watching for? You know, maybe a way of seeing God's perspective on this is maybe to look at it from a different direction, right? Simeon was looking for the consolation of Israel. So maybe if you look forward to 2025, what are you afraid of, right? Are you afraid maybe of not having enough money? Are you afraid of loneliness? So what are the ways maybe that God could work to be your consolation in those things, right? Because, you know, if we're afraid of not having enough money, that can lead us to work too hard, that can lead us to be maybe stingy and not be generous with our money. If we're just afraid of loneliness, we'll try to connect with people that maybe we shouldn't, or end up being clingy, or have unhealthy relationships. But if God is our consolation, maybe there's a way that he's leading you maybe not to just run away from your fears, but to pass through them, right? To learn how to live through them, to give you the strength and the courage to face those fears rather than be afraid of it and avoid it. And then to see God be faithful in a new way. You know, Simeon was one of those people that had learned that he could trust God with all the details of his life. And for that, he was continuing, even at the end of his life, not to be worried about what was going to happen with him or what was going to happen next, but he was watching for what God would do, not just for him, but for his whole community. And so because of that, he had a special awareness of God being at work. And God gives him this beautiful promise that by the Holy Spirit, God tells him that you're not going to die before you see some of my promises come true. You're not going to die before you see the Messiah come. And so the Holy Spirit makes it clear that Simeon will get to see God's faithfulness in a new and unique way. So continue reading on in our passage. It says, moved by the Spirit, Simeon went into the temple courts, and wherein the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. Right? So Jesus, or Simeon, he sees Jesus just as an eight-day-old baby, and he realizes, yeah, this is the fulfillment of God's promises. He's able to recognize this little baby is the Messiah. And for Simeon, just to see Jesus was enough to give him hope, to give him a new perspective on who God was, and to realize that God was fulfilling his promises, right? Because over his life, you know, Simeon, he'd seen all these moments where he'd been asked to trust in God, right? That maybe he dedicated a child to God. He'd seen those moments where he had to maybe give generously when he wasn't sure if it wasn't going to work out. He'd seen those moments where God had asked him to maybe make some sort of sacrifice to love and care for someone else. But now he realized that for all that he'd given to God, Now God had given his son to them, to us, right? And something in that, Simeon sees it, and it all clicks for him. He says, for all that we gave to God, God has given us something far more precious in return, right? That God's love for us is way more than what we think of as our sacrifice or our love for him. And for Simeon, it all clicks together in that moment of seeing, wow, this is the salvation. This is the Savior that God has sent for us. And he realizes this is going to be so much bigger than what he maybe even understood before. You know, he starts to talk about, wow, this is going to be a revelation for the Gentiles, so like the nations way beyond Israel, and even for the whole of all the people of Israel. It's not just for Simeon, not just for his family, but for all nations, for the whole world, you know. And then he has to start to kind of wrestle, well, what on earth does that mean? You know, how is this going to work out, that God, you are going to bless not just me, but the whole world through what has happened here? You know, I think the season after Christmas is an important season to kind of wrestle with that. And it kind of makes you think of, if you think back in history of when Columbus and the other explorers from Europe first encountered North America, the New World, right? Because Columbus, when he set out, he thought he was going to China. And I think even when he came back, he thought he'd been to China. But, you know, when they actually kind of started to piece together, they realized, no, there's a whole new continent out there that we have to kind of integrate into our understanding of geology, of history, of the world, of creation, of how everything works. And if you read history at that time and politics, you can kind of see how nations and scientists and thinkers were struggling just to integrate, what does a whole new continent, a whole new world, how does that change the way we think and the way we understand things? And Jesus is like that, right? How does the fact that God became human totally change everything of how we understood the world? And how are we going to live with this new discovery? And what Simeon points out, he says, this is going to be not just something that's going to be encouraging for me, but he says, this is going to be a light of revelation for the whole world. This is going to illuminate the whole world in a new way. It's rooted actually in what Simeon knew from the prophet Isaiah, who'd written hundreds of years earlier. Right, Isaiah had written, he says, I will also make you a light for the Gentiles, that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth. Right, and it's almost a direct quote. If you see on the slide, it'll come of between what Simeon says and what Isaiah says are almost exactly the same. That Isaiah had hundreds of years earlier had said, God's plan is that he will be a light to all nations and to all ends of the earth. Right, and Simeon had spent enough of his life kind of listening to the teaching of Scripture and reflecting on that, that when God revealed himself, he realized, hey, this is coming true, right? What I see is just the smallest baby and one day of it, but what God is doing is something that goes to the whole world, that all people will be able to look to Jesus and see the light of God, see the love of God. You know, and maybe for you, you may be someone, when I talk about Simeon, you would say, I'm nothing like him, right? You've maybe never felt like that. The story of Jesus is something for you, that the story of what God is doing is something for you. But what Simeon is saying here is, like, actually the people that maybe didn't even think of themselves as looking for God will be able to see God in Jesus, right? You know, and the promise of Simeon here is that even the people that weren't looking, that weren't paying attention, will actually have a chance to see Jesus and encounter Jesus. And because Jesus came as a person in history, in human time, people were able to see him, to encounter him, and we, hundreds of years later, and thousands of miles away, can look back and know that God had demonstrated his love in a concrete, physical way that we can all see and see the light of Jesus. You know, and the unique thing about Simeon is that he got to experience this for himself, but then through his actions, he's actually able to explain it and make it known to others, that the light of Jesus would be shown to others. You know, and you know, just before I came up, Dom was sharing about some of the things that the 180 has been doing over this past year. And I've been really encouraged to be part of some of those things. And some of it was, you know, generosity towards drilling a well in Ethiopia. A few weeks ago, we had a cookie drive just to encourage different people in the community here in Laval. Our different home groups have been generous towards all sorts of community organizations through Laval and throughout Montreal. And I know from your stories that many of you are living lives of love that show Jesus' love to people that maybe don't know anything about Jesus at all, right? Because like Simeon, you know, if we really see who Jesus is and what he is doing and start to live in line with what Jesus has taught, you know, we can then be that light that points other people towards who Jesus is. You know, Simeon, he got to see the promise of God fulfilled in Jesus. Then he realized, hey, this promise is going to go forward into the future. It's not just fulfilled, but it's extended. And extended to us, to you and me, into 2025, in Laval, in Montreal, and wherever we are, wherever we go. You know, and I want to kind of conclude in reflecting on that, of how Jesus is carrying us and sending us with a new promise into 2025. You know, I shared at the start how when I was little, I kind of thought that Christmas was just about getting a second chance, getting a chance at a do-over. And over time, I came to realize that, no, like, seeing Jesus as he really was meant I got to realize that Christmas, or Jesus, is about change, about bringing change and new life and in a new way. But, you know, as I went through life, I realized a little bit later, you know, I'd kind of embraced this idea that Jesus wanted to bring change in me. But I started to feel a lot of pressure that I needed to kind of work on that myself, and that maybe God wasn't happy with me if I wasn't moving along fast enough. And I remember reading where Jesus says in his gospel, he says, "You are my friends." And when I read that, I saw something I'd never seen before. There's something so real that when we see Jesus in a new way, it changes who we are. And when I saw it say, Jesus say, "You are my friends," that started to change once again everything about how I wanted to live. It was a realization that happened in a second, but took months to work out, of realizing that Jesus, as God of the universe, yes, he came to bring a change, but he came to bring a change as a friend, right? And for all those moments that when we see Jesus as he really is, we will have a change. And maybe for you it came in a different order, that you saw Jesus as a friend first, and then only later came to realize that he wanted to bring a change in your life. But I think in 2025, we need to see Jesus as he really is, so we can experience the change that he has for us and carry that promise out to others. You know, a way that you could do that, if you haven't before, is actually to read one of the Gospels. You know, today we were reading from Luke. So the Gospels are just the story of Jesus' life. And today we just took one paragraph from the story from what Luke wrote about Jesus and just took time to reflect on that. Maybe through the month of January, go through the Gospels and maybe take a page or just one story and just read that in the morning every day and take the time during the day to reflect on that. And, you know, even though maybe every day won't be a great revelation or a totally new way of living, every day as you look at Jesus, you'll see God better, you'll see yourself better, and you'll be changed. This year at Christmas, it could be, you know, that what you need is to see that Jesus is the fulfillment of God's promises, that Jesus is the one that God has sent to save us and to rescue us. And whether for you that means you need to lean into a practice of dedicating the things that you carry back to God, maybe you need to follow the example of Simeon and follow his example of trust and trust that God is at work. Or maybe you need to embrace the promise that Jesus is the light of the world and join in sharing that light to others. But for all of those, it starts from seeing Jesus as he is and following after him. Let's pray. Our Lord Jesus, I thank you that what we need to do is just to see you, and that brings change. That you have done your work in public in a way that you can be seen and can be found, even by people that aren't feel like they're not that searching or not ready to know you. So God, I pray for us in 2025 as we head into this year, that you yourself would be revealed to us, and all the things that we worry about or that we carry or that are frustrating or difficult for us, that we'd see that you care for us and you're carrying us through. Pray these things in your name, Jesus. Amen.
Hey, can we thank Willie for that message? Wow. What a great message and great reminder and teaching for us of what it means to really, as we think about this coming year, dedicate our lives to Jesus and to trust him in a deeper way. And Willie shared about Simeon, but I think of Willie actually almost as a model of that as well. He's not as old as Simeon yet. He got a ways to go, but just from working with him, he's really modeled dedicating his life to just, as you know, as he's learned to lead, just many hours behind the scenes of learning to work with teams and to just plan and work in details. And just part of my job is I have the honor of just even meeting him with him as he prepared for this message. And you just don't think of just all the hours and time that goes into preparing. And I just think about how he's dedicating just of life, of trusting that God's going to do something so much bigger with his time as well. And so that's something that we're just all called to do, as Willie shared. Just think about what are those things that God has uniquely trusted us to that we can really dedicate and give our time to, and trust that God will do something so much bigger. And so just invite you to stand as we kind of come to a close. I want to mention a couple things as we kind of look ahead to the new year. One, I just want to mention that as Willie has shared about, if you just have something related to that or something else that you want prayer for, we have an amazing prayer team and a prayer space in the corner. We'd just love to take the time to pray with you before you go. I want to mention as well, Willie mentioned it, but we have, you mentioned just kind of taking the times to be in one of the Gospels. Funny enough, we're actually going to spend some time in our new series in the Gospel of Matthew. And so the new series coming up is called Kingdom of Heaven. We should have a slide of it. Kingdom of Heaven, wisdom from Matthew's Gospel for the new you. If you've never heard the term Kingdom of Heaven before, maybe you're just thinking about like goals for the new year, resolutions. There's so many things that can shape what that is. How many of you are thinking about the Kingdom of Heaven as being the thing that defines this coming year for you? And so if that's a new idea, you want to learn more, we'd just love for you to come join us again next Sunday as we start that new series together and as we really dive into the book of Matthew. Last thing I want to mention, Pastor Don mentioned it earlier, but as you think about just what it means to just dedicate time and kind of learn to be generous in this coming year, if you'd like to give, as he mentioned that earlier, I want to just point you to the fact you can go to our website or just in the hall for more details about how to do that. And so just as we come to a close, just invite you to pray with me. Let's pray. God, as Willie shared from the scriptures and as he prayed as well, we pray again that you would help us as we reflect on this past year, maybe as we would take time to do that today or this coming week, that we would just pay attention not only to the things this past year that have been a burden or a struggle or just a difficult responsibility, but that you would help us to see those things as things that you have gifted us with and entrusted us with. And we recognize that you do that in unique ways in each of our lives as you invite us to trust you and to pay attention to what it means to focus on you and to the unique ways that you're at work, to focus on your purposes for our kids' lives or for relationships or for work or for all those things you've entrusted us to, that you have a special purpose in that. And so help us as we look to this coming year to really take seriously what it means to dedicate our lives to trusting in that. That we would even dedicate in a way that even in the times that things go unrecognized or the ways that nobody sees, that you would help us to watch and to wait on you, not in a way that's passive, but in a way that is just active and trusting in you and in a deeper participation for what you're doing. We think of, as Willie shared, what you're doing in and through our church, how you've been so faithful in drawing new people to you, new people to just know your love, people to find their place. God, we just pray that you would go ahead of us as you continue to do that, and that you would help each of us play our part, that as we dedicate our lives to you and dedicate those things to you, we trust that you are doing something so much bigger in drawing people to you. And so would you just, again, help us to reflect on that, and would you go us before us this coming week and into this coming year as well. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks again, everyone. Thanks for being here with us and worshiping with us. Have a great week. We'll see you next week for a new series. See you next week.